Well, as those baskets go forward, I hope you're excited for this morning more than just, I'm pretty excited for the Seahawks game, but I'm pretty excited for what God wants to do before the Seahawks game, even this morning. We have some good friends of ours that are here, and they're going to be sharing. But before they come, how many of you believe that God wants to speak to you today? Come on, right? I believe that God wants to speak. And if you don't believe it, that's okay. I want you to trust me when I say God wants to speak to you today. I believe God speaks in different ways, and we are so privileged this morning to have some friends of ours here. And I love this couple for a lot of different reasons. They're really fun, and they've just really encouraged my wife and I over the last 2 years as we've gotten to know them. But he is an amazing pastor. He is an amazing man of God, and she is an amazing woman of God. But God has given them some pretty cool gifts. And just like we believe God wants to speak to us, I believe that God wants to do that corporately, but also sometimes the Lord wants to speak to individuals. And Pastor Mark has a gift that God uses him to encourage the body of Christ, but also uses him to encourage individuals. And so I have just told Pastor Mark, if the Lord wants to speak things to us corporately, then he has free reign to speak those things. Or if he feels like God wants to encourage someone, then I've said, we want the encouragement of the Lord. And so I just want you to know that I've just let Pastor Mark have reign to speak what God's given him. And so be expectant this morning. Amen? And we're going to have a great time. So this is Pastor Mark and Cheryl Cargill. They, you know, you're probably going to say who you are. So let's just do this. Would you welcome with me some dear friends of ours, Pastor Mark and Cheryl Cargill.
Well, we are so excited to be here with you this morning, and what a blessing it is and a privilege for us to be here with you. We just love Justin and Kara so much, and we just are so in awe of them. Check. Oh, he's saying check. I was wondering what he was saying. We're just so in awe and just love them so much. They are wonderful pastors. Yeah. And as we've gotten to know them and stuff, just hearing their love for the Lord and their passion for the people of God in this house. And it's so exciting to see how God has raised him up in this house and to be able to be the man of God that God has appointed and called for this house is just an amazing story. And we just feel so blessed to know them and what wonderful parents that they are and how that they love their children so much. And I know how that is when you're pastoring and have children. I have five of my own, too. So I noticed, like, yesterday when we were with everybody, they were, like, saying how these people have four, these people have five kids, these people have three kids. So we will fit right in with this family of a church family here. So we're excited to be here. And just what the Lord was just been sharing with me about this house is just kind of how I feel like he's wanting you to just pursue his presence and pursue his presence even more so, and to go deeper and more into what God has called you to be. And in his presence, we find the fullness of joy. And we exchange those beauty for ashes, for the joy of the Lord. And as we are in his presence, he changes us from glory to glory. And when we pursue him, you know, I was thinking about how that even with Saul, how he was a man, but when he came into the presence of the Lord, he was changed. And they were saying, who is this man? Who is Saul that he would be among the prophets? And I just believe that as God, as you pursue his presence, as you are in his presence, God is going to just cause you to be more like him and be more into him and to have his joy, to have his peace, to have the things that God wants for you and for your ministry and how he wants to take this house to the next level. And how are you going to get there? It's that by pursuing the Lord, pursuing him, forgetting those things that are behind us and pressing on to the high call of God in Christ Jesus. Amen. Amen. Amen.
Awesome. Well, it's an honor to be here. My name is Mark. I'm the lead pastor of Hope Church in Tucson, Arizona, along with my wife. Like she said, we have five kids, and so you can start praying now for us. It's been a real joy and honor to get to know your pastors over the last couple of years. And when we first met, we just kind of hit it off. And it's pretty easy to like them, I have to say. They're just some of the sweetest people you'd ever know. Of course, you know that. You hear all of them all the time. But they just are really, really sweet people. One of the most genuine people you would ever meet. No airs or anything. Just what you see is what you get. And they love the Lord. They love the church. They love you. And they love this community. And so it's a real blessing and honor for us to be here. I know of some dear friends of ours that were mutual friends, Craig and Moni Lotz from Victory Faith in Spokane. I just spoke at their church a little over a month ago, and just great friends. It's just an honor to share that friendship. And I know they've been here and have sown into this house as well. And you know, you've had some great pastors and preachers that have stood in this pulpit. And this house has a great heritage of faith and a great heritage and a rich foundation. But how many know that God is just not all about the past? He's also about the future. He's about the future. So before I get into my message today, I just want to share one interesting thing I heard not too long ago about a story about a guy who went to heaven. And he's standing in line at the pearly gates as people are getting their reward. And so St. Peter came up to him and said, what's your name? He said, my name is Justin. And he said, wow, great. Justin, I see your name right here. And so he said, angels. And the angels came out and brought him this wooden staff and scepter and a garland around his head, no pun intended. And a nice flannel robe that they gave him. And he was like, wow, okay. And Peter says, get ready to enter into your reward. And so he's going down the line, and he gets to this other person in line, and he said, hey, sweetheart, what's your name? And she said, my name is Kara. And he goes, oh, here's your name on the list. And he says, angels come out with their reward. And so they come out, trumpets are blaring, and all these angels come out. And they give her a golden scepter and a crown of gold for her head with jewels on it and everything, and a beautiful embroidered silk robe that went on her shoulders. And man, they put it on and everything. And Justin's like, what? What's up with that? He looks at Peter and goes, hey, man, you know, I was a pastor of a church, and I led a congregation, and I preached, and I was faithful. And Peter said, you know, that's true. All those things are true. But here's one thing that you fail to remember. See, when you preached, people slept. But when Kara drove, people prayed. I've never ridden with Kara, but something about that story tells me that might be true. Nothing but love for you. Nothing but love. All right. All right. Hopefully everybody's together. Remember, God's not the God of only the past or the present. He's the God of the future. And so today I want to speak to you from the subject, what do you see? What do you see? And I want to go to the story of Abraham as God comes into his life, intersects his story, and begins to speak to him about what he saw, and began to speak to him and confirm to him about what it was that God was wanting to do in his life. So we're going to pick the story up in Genesis chapter 15, verse 1, as God comes to Abram, begins to remind him of his promise that he's already made to him before, but he's going to remind him again. And he and Abram have an interesting conversation. Let's check this out. Genesis chapter 15, in verse 1. Reading from the New King James, it says this: after these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision. Everybody say vision. Abram, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision. So this is a vision moment. This is a Holy Spirit intersection. This is where God begins to speak. And he says to him, do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield, your exceedingly great reward. Good. But Abram said, Lord God, what will you give me, seeing I go childless? And the heir of my house is Eliezer of Damascus, who was his servant. Then Abram said, look, everybody say, look.
Look,
look, you have given me no offspring, and indeed one born in my house is my heir. He's referring again to his servant. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him, saying, this one shall not be your heir, but one who will come from your own body shall be your heir. And then he brought him outside and said, look, look now toward heaven and count the stars if you are able to number them. And he said to him, so shall your descendants be. Verse 6 says, and he, Abraham, believed the Lord, and he accounted it to him for righteousness. And he said to him, I am the Lord who brought you out of Ur of the Chaldeans to give you this land to inherit it. And this second scripture I want you to read with me is out of Hebrews chapter 11. It's the great faith chapter, the hall of faith. And in Hebrews 11 verse 1 through 3, it says this: now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good testimony. By faith we understand that the worlds were framed by what? The word of God. So that the things which are seen are not made of things which are visible. Amen. Father, we thank you for the word and the time we're going to be together today. Let your spirit just bring revelation. Speak clearly to us today. And just whatever you want to say to us, we say, speak, Lord, your servant is listening. And help the Seahawks totally smoke the Rams. In Jesus' name, amen. I may be in Arizona, but I am a Northwest boy, and I am a Seahawks fan to the core. So I'm with you. I'm pulling right along with you. All right. Well, today, as we jump into the Word, I just want to remind everybody that as we're looking into the future and as we're beginning to seek the Lord for what God has for us, let me just say that your life and everybody in this room needs to have some sense of vision to their life. And this church, obviously, I know has a clear sense of vision, but as you're getting ready to move forward, there is a tendency for us to be looking at some of the things we really don't need to be looking at. And the essence or the question about the essence of vision is this question: what do you see? What do you see? And I think the Lord would ask you this question today. As you look into the future of your own personal life, what do you see? You look into your business, what do you see? When you're looking at your marriage or the lives of your children or grandchildren, what do you see? When you look into the vision and the mission and the place of destiny that this church has in this community, what do you see? I think a lot of people can be looking at the wrong thing. I think a lot of people can be looking at really what they see is what the enemy is doing rather than what God is doing.
Come on.
I think sometimes what people see is things that are contrary to really what the Lord is doing. Like Abram, they look at what they don't have rather than what they can have by faith in Christ. And they live in a kind of a different level, really a life of disappointment rather than a life of faith and fulfillment.
Yeah.
And it's all about what you see. I was having a conversation with a young youth pastor at one point, and he was just having a difficult time coming up with a sense of vision for the ministry that he was leading. And I was mentoring him and trying to help him do some things to give shape and life to the youth ministry he was leading. And finally, I just asked him, I said, listen, this is really the essence of what I want to get to, and it's this. When you think of your youth ministry, when you think of what God's called you to do here, what do you see? When you enter into that room where you meet every week, the chairs might be empty, but let me ask you something. What do you see? What do you see? Not with the eyes of your natural understanding, the eyes that are in your head. I'm talking about eyes of faith. What do you see with the eyes of vision? What do you see with the eyes of purpose? And I get it. We look at reality. We look at where we are. We look at how things are looking right now in front of us. We look at the obvious. Yeah. Yeah. Often too, and maybe too often, we look at the natural. Yeah. And you look at my now. I look at my reality. This is the tendency that we do. We look at reality. We look at where we're at. We look at the moment in this reality that we stand in right now. But here's the truth I want everybody in the room to get today, and that is no matter what your reality or what the facts say to you in the moment, that those all of those things need to be governed by faith. Come on. They need to be shaped by faith. They need to be governed by faith. It's one thing for the facts to tell you that maybe you've got a critical illness, but the truth says that I am the Lord your God that heals you. And are we going to live our lives by the facts, or are we going to live our life by the truth? Come on. That was amen, Mark. That was good. Hallelujah. You're preaching better than I'm amening, but that's okay. Come on. And so we need to have our reality governed by faith. Let me give you, today, just as we're talking about what do you see, let me give you three things that are really issues of vision for you as an individual and as a church. Three keys to vision. The first one is this: get out of your tent.
Yeah. Come on. Come on.
Get out of your tent. The Bible says in Genesis chapter 14 or 15 that the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision saying, "Do not be afraid, Abram. I'm your shield, your exceedingly great reward." Of course, Abram begins to describe what is around him. He begins to describe his reality. He begins to describe his world. And what you don't realize is the story starts in Genesis 15 is that Abram is inside his tent. Right. Now here's the thing you need to recognize about his tent. The tent that Abram was in was probably something that he had made with his own hands. He or one of his servants had made it. Yeah. It was man-made. I don't know about you, but I don't want to live in a man-made world. I don't want to have a man-shaped destiny, and I don't want to live in a man-shaped purpose. I want to get outside of the man-shaped, man's limited, man's resources, man's perspective, man's reality. I want to get outside of that, and I want to see something different than what man can do. I want to have a different perspective. And so God, what did he do? In order for him to get him to get God's perspective, he had to bring him outside. He had to bring him outside the tent. Your tent represents your world. It represents what you can do or have done. And God is wanting to get you out beyond what you can do and what you have done, and maybe get you to look at something a little different. It's interesting that when Abram was in his tent and God speaks to him these words of vision, Abram, I kind of envision him as just kind of standing in that tent, kind of waving his hand. And actually the word look that Abram uses when he says to the Lord, look, it means to wave the hand. It's as if Abram was in his tent going, look. And he's gesturing to what he can do, to what he is able to handle, what he is able to accomplish, what he in his own human strength, his own human resources is able to do in his own hand, with the work of his own hand and his own power, his own creativity, his own wisdom. So he goes, look, I have a guy in my own house. He's not even my own blood. He's going to inherit all this stuff. Look. And it's almost as if he is gesturing to what he can do or what he has done. Here's another thing about your tent. It's the place of your resource. Come on. Your tent is the place of your resource. I don't know about you. I'm grateful for the resource that I have, but I believe that the things that God has called me to do, I'm going to need some miracles. Right. I'm going to need some miracle resource. Well, it ain't going to be found in my tent, I'll tell you that.
Right.
I need to have God's resources. Well, I got to get a different perspective. Your tent also represents, hear me, your comfort zone. This is where you sleep. This is where you kick back. This is where you kind of relax. This is the place that you chill. And this is where I'm comfortable, is in my tent. And if you want to do anything significant for God, guess what? You've got to be willing to leave your comfort zone. You got to be willing to do that. There's no way you're going to fulfill the Great Commission by staying. The Great Commission didn't say, stay. Right. And everybody's like, sweet, awesome. Can we order in? Jesus said, go. And this, that very word says, yeah, I'm going to be uncomfortable. I'm going to get you into places you may not necessarily choose on your own to go. You got to get out of your tent. Your tent represents your present experience. Your present experience and also your past memory. Your tent represents the past and where you are presently. But if you're going to do what God wants you to do, you can't stay stuck in your tent. You can't live in the past, and you can't stay stuck in this moment knowing that God has raised you up as a church, as a city set on a hill. This message is going to be prophetic for you. Don't get worried if I start shifting in and out of prophetic statements and prophesying a little bit, because that's what I believe I've been asked to come here to do. And I just want to say to you, there is a spirit of destiny that is on this church. There is a spirit where God is going to cause you to move forward in a place and in a realm and a momentum and a thing that God's wanting to do in this house that is not going to be limited by what you have experienced in the past. It's not going to be limited by where you are in the moment and the now, but God's going to move you into a whole new realm of purpose and destiny for you to actually do something's going to shake the very realm of darkness in this place, and you're going to be like a city set on a hill and a light shining out in this community that cannot be hidden. And God's going to move by His Spirit upon this church, and He's going to cause there to be an expansion and a release in this house that's going to be greater than you could have ever imagined or that you could have ever dreamed. But you got to get out of your tent. You've got to say, I'm not happy with the way it was, and I'm not really happy with the way it is. I want to see God do something new. I want to see God do something fresh. I want to see God open heaven over this place and step out into our community and be who God called me to be and do what God called me to do and be a city on a hill that cannot be hidden. You can't stay in your tent and do that. Your tent represents all that you can do on your own. And here's the big kicker, I think, of all the things I've said about being in your tent. You can't see what God sees while you're in your tent. You got to get out. You got to get out of your tent. So while your tent is great, it's helped you and it's got you this far, but it isn't going to get you where you need to go. You got to get out of your tent. And so I want to just say to you today, be a people that says, okay, I'm willing to get out of my comfort zone. I'm willing to get out of the things. I love what God has done. But now we're generational hope. You don't hope for the past. You hope for the future. Right? You hope for what God's going to be doing in the next moment. What's next in God's economy? And so He's saying for you to have a hope and a future. He's got good plans for you. Come on, amen. Future and hope go together. Jeremiah 29:11. I have good plans for you, says the Lord. Plans of good and not for disaster, to give you a future and a hope. Future and hope go together. And so we need to get out of our tent in order to see our future and to see what God sees. Second key to vision is this: get a prophetic perspective. Get a prophetic perspective. You say, Mark, what does that mean? In other words, that means get the perspective that God wants to show you. See what he sees. Listen to what he wants to say to you and begin to believe that. Begin to expect that. Begin to look at that. It's interesting that Abram, when he's in his tent, stretches his hand, waves his hand around the tent and says, look. And what's the first thing God says to Abram when he brings him outside? Same word. But it's like the Lord waves his hand around at the heavens and says, look. It's like Abram comes to God and says, see, look, look at all of this. This is what I can do. And God brings him outside and goes, look.
Yeah. Right. Come on.
This is what I can do. Right. Never mind. And God changes his perspective. See, so he gets you outside of the tent to give you a prophetic perspective. Look now, and he says, towards heaven. Your source for vision is the Lord. It's not some other church. It's not some other movement. It's not some other preacher. It's what is the Lord saying to you? What is God in heaven revealing for generational hope to do in this city? What does he have for you to do? Or you individually, you want what the God of heaven wants for your life, not just what you know and your little thing that you're doing. And I praise God for your business, your career or your education, and all of that's great. This is one thing that I know. I'm pursuing my master's degree right now in leadership, but I just know that there's things that God's going to demand of me that I just think that's smart. Right. It doesn't matter how many degrees I have. I'm going to need the wisdom of God to do what he wants me to do. I need God's help to really figure things out. I need God's revelation to see things that I don't see. And remember, Hebrews 11 is, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. This is the thing, is that while you're in your tent, you don't see what God sees. You get out, he begins to show you what he sees by revelation. He reveals it to you. He says, look. And there are going to be those moments. I believe today is one of those times where God's going to wave his hand and just revelation's going to come. Vision's going to come. You're going to get to think and you're going to see differently than you have before. I mean, think about it. How many times did Abram look at those stars?
Right.
But yet that night, it was different. It was different. Look now toward heaven. You know, this is a phrase that's used in the Bible. There's a phrase that's used over and over again, and it's the phrase, lift up your eyes. Lift up your eyes. You see this over and over in the Bible. Lift up your eyes. And it's always at times when God's getting ready to do something significant. He's getting ready to do something significant, and he says, lift up your eyes. You see it in the prophets. You see it even when Jesus was talking to his disciples in John chapter 4, when they are talking about, he said, hey, don't say 6 months and then the harvest. Lift up your eyes and look.
Yeah, good.
Now, for the fields are wide unto harvest. You see what I see? And they begin to shift in their perspective. Get a prophetic lift up your eyes. I think so many times what we do is we get so concerned with where we are that all we do is begin to get myopic. We begin to get too hyper-focused on our little world. And so we're all about, you know, and I love sports, and I took my kids to games, and I all those things, and all that's great. But if we're not careful, all the stuff going on in our life can begin to get us to get so focused on that little sphere around where we are, so that all we do and all we're about is just you know, and I got a soccer, and I got dentist appointments, and I got doctor's appointments, and then my daughter's going to go to the orthodontist, and I've got to do, and we're just all, and pretty soon all we're doing is running around in circles in our little world. When God says, would you just lift up your eyes and see that there's a whole purpose and destiny that I have for you that's so much bigger than that. Get a prophetic perspective. When I was a senior in college, I was praying for the Lord to really speak to me. I was attending college. It was a Bible college, and I was attending Bible college with people who had received prophetic words in their life, and they were going to youth group and going to young adult ministry and stuff. God would speak to them, and I was kind of jealous because, I mean, I'm a sixth-generation preacher, and I had never in my life had one prophetic word over my life, not one. And here I am in, now I'm a senior in Bible college, and I still have never had a prophetic word over my life. But and so I'm asking the Lord, I want you to speak. And I got my friends running around, you know, with reams of prophecies over there. Like, oh, yeah, praise God. I just know what I'm going to do. Bless his holy name. I just know God's going to send me to the nations, and God's going to do it. And I'm just, shut up. And one day I was in prayer, I was in church, hint. I was in church, and it was before church, it was a prayer meeting before church, the service started. We're having some special meetings at the church where I was at, a church called Bible Temple in Portland, Oregon, and now called City Bible Church. But I was there praying in this room, prayer room, a bunch of PBC students, Portland Bible College students around me, and I'm praying and just saying, God, would you speak to me? And all of a sudden, the Lord begins to show me this vision. And I see these big hands come down. I see this piece of clay on a potter's wheel. Y'all know what a potter's wheel is? And I see, you ever see the movie Ghost? Maybe that'll help you. No, never mind. Okay, so. Sorry. And so, you know, this piece of clay spinning on the potter's wheel, and see these big hands come down and puts his thumbs in the hand, begins to shape it as it's spinning. It's just shapes out in this huge pot, and God begins to shape it and mold it. And the Lord begins speaking to me. I'm shaping you and molding you, and I'm going to do this. And he begins to just prophesy right into my heart with the things that he's doing in my life and the things that he's going to do in my life. I mean, it was a very detailed, very expansive, probably for about 10 or 15 minutes, the Lord was just speaking and downloading into me what he was going to do with my life, over my life. And it's one of those moments, you ever had one of those moments where God speaks to you, and then the follow-up phrase that you say to God is, Lord, if this is you, you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
that was me right there. I was, if this is you, and I said, you got to confirm this. I mean, I got to know this legit. This is really you talking to me. And so I go into the service, right out of the prayer room, down into the service. 90 minutes later, no kidding, 90 minutes later, I'm down at the altar praying for some of my friends who had responded to the preaching of the word. So I'm down there, large church, 1,000, 1,500 people, and just people praying over some different people. I'm down there. Well, one of the speakers at the conference was a wonderful theologian. He actually wrote many of the textbooks that we actually were studying in our college. He's a man by the name of Dr. Kevin Connor. T.D. Jakes says that he's the most influential theologian in his personal ministry. He's a well-known guy, really respected, highly respected Bible teacher and theologian. And so he is up on the platform. He's one of the guest speakers. He's from Australia. And I stopped praying for my friend, and I look. This is 90 minutes after this vision I had. And I look up, and there's Dr. Connor looking right at me. And, you know, you ever had that uncomfortable moment? Like, okay, hallelujah. Yeah. You open your eyes again, and he's still looking at you, you know? And so he does this. So then I'm like, oh, snap, man. Oh. So I look around like the discerning man of God that I am. I looked around. I looked behind me. I looked back at him and I went. He nods his head, yes. So I'm like, oh, wow. So I start. And the platform's really tall. So it's got like 12, 14 steps, you know, going up. So, you know, I'm walking up the steps, you know. I'm walking on the steps going, forgive me, Father, for I have sinned. Blessed. Then I'm praying every Protestant and Catholic prayer, and you just, you know, speaking in tongues. I'm just, you know. And I get up to the top of the steps. And he puts his arms around, puts his arm around me, and he says to me, he says, Mark, he said, you know, I don't do this. I'm not really a teacher. I'm not really a prophet, but I there are times the Lord speaks to me. And I was standing here, and I was saw you, and the Lord spoke to me and gave me a vision. And he says, the vision was this. I see your life like a piece of clay on a potter's wheel. God's shaping and molding your life, and everything that God's been doing, he's getting you ready to do. And he just began to go down and absolutely, totally described the exact vision I had had 90 minutes earlier when the Lord spoke to me. Wow. You know, when you want vision, God will give it to you. And Samuel said, speak, Lord, your servant is listening. And what did God do? He spoke to him. It's one of the reasons the Holy Spirit is poured out upon our generation. Peter said that in the last days, says God, I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. God's going to pour out a spirit of revelation. All you need to do is seek, ask, and knock, and he will tell you what he wants to do. And he will give you that prophetic perspective. Number three, third key to vision is this. Put your faith in the promise, not the present. Put your faith in the promise, not the present. Here's the problem. Too many people are putting their faith in the present. Or even... Even more radically, they put more faith in their problem than they do in the Lord that can solve the problem. I mean, listen, what are you going... I find it interesting. So many people talk about their mountain more than talking to their mountain about God. They go talking to God about their mountain rather than telling the mountain what God says about the mountain. Maybe we should, rather than focusing on our problem, focus on the promise that God has given to us about the problem. Maybe instead of speaking so much about the past or the present, we should really be focusing on his purpose for what we're going to do and where God is taking us, rather than being so concerned about was or what is, but really being really concerned about what is to come. What is God wanting to do? Hebrews 11:3, we read this scripture. It says that by faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God. You are framing your world with something right now. You're framing your world with something. What's your world going to be framed by? Is your world going to be framed by failure? Is your world going to be framed by the past experiences? And while sometimes they're bad and sometimes they're good, but the past is the past and you cannot relive it. Yeah. Is your world going to be framed by divorce? Is it going to be framed by immorality? Is it going to be framed by the natural things that you see, the things that are possible? As long as your world is framed by what you think is possible, you will never attempt to do impossible things. And I'm just going to have got news for you. The vision God has for this church isn't possible. Come on. Yep. Well, why are we here? Preacher, if you say it's not possible, because we serve a God of the impossible. And it's by him that we are able to do the impossible. It's by him and through him that we can do what he says that we can do. So I'm going to choose to frame my world, and hopefully you as generational hope will choose to frame your world by the word of God, by the promises of God. You're going to frame your world with hope. You're going to frame your world with destiny. You're going to frame your world with purpose. You're going to frame your world with God's plans, with what he says to look at rather than what I say to look at. You're going to frame your world with goodness. You're going to frame your world with blessing. You're going to frame your world with breakthrough. You're going to frame your world with freedom. You're going to frame your world with forgiveness. What are you going to frame your world with? I choose to frame my world with life. I choose to frame my world with the promise of God. Let me ask you something. What do you see?
Come on, Mark.
What do you see? When you look at Maple Valley, what do you see? When you look at Renton, Maple Valley, Auburn, this greater southern, southeastern part of Seattle, what do you see? Well, I see Boeing, and I see trees, and I see... Lift up your eyes. Let's maybe see something a little different. Let's maybe see that God has a whole harvest of souls that he wants to bring into this church and into this house. How about God has put a calling on each one of you to be not only a part of a city set on a hill, but that you are going to be lights individually to go out into this community and shine the gospel and shine the love and shine the good news of Jesus Christ to this city so that people see your life and see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Maybe what God's wanting to do is cause this church to begin to bulge with momentum and bulge with growth. I believe that God is moving by his Spirit and pouring out an incredible spirit of faith in this church. I believe there's a whole nother level of faith that God's pouring into this house right now. I believe that there is in this moment, as you're hearing the preaching of the word, God is doing something in your heart. And there is an impartation. I have a gift of faith. And I'm just going to believe that as I begin to declare today some things over you, and over this house, God is going to download into you a spirit of faith to say that no matter what, no matter what the circumstances are around this and what I see or what I have seen, I'm going to get outside my tent and I'm going to look up to the heavens and I'm going to let God say, look. Because this is what I see when I look at Generational Hope. You know what I see? I see a church and three services on the weekend. I see a church having to figure out what they're going to do with all the people coming in here and having to strategize on how can we fit these people in on Sunday morning. And I see you having to go to a Saturday night service and a couple Sunday morning services, maybe a Sunday afternoon service. I'm believing God for some supernatural growth. I prophesy supernatural growth and momentum in this house as you begin to move forward in your purpose and into your destiny. I see a church that is multiracial and multi-ethnic. I see a church that is like Joseph's coat of many colors. There's red and there's yellow and there's black and there's white. There's a church that is full of the love and compassion of God that is willing to be able to roll out the red carpet to the cross to every person that's embracing every kind of addiction and every kind of lifestyle and every kind of orientation so they can come in here and actually find the truth and the reality of the love and the life-changing hope of God and to find an identity and to find a purpose and to find a future and a hope in Christ Jesus. I see God moving upon this church in a supernatural way. I saw this whole campus full of children and full of young people. I believe there's an anointing on this church to reach generations as you've been so aptly named. It's a generational church. I see hundreds and hundreds of children and young people being added to this church. I see you doing camps. I see you doing activities and certain things in the church where this place is just alive and it is buzzing with young people. I see young people being saved. I see children coming. I see the altar packed with children at special children's events as children come forward to receive Jesus as their Lord and Savior. Statistics tell us that there is more stick-to-itiveness to faith when a child embraces Christ than at any other moment in their life. And it will stay with them for the rest of their life. I see children just even praying. I see Spirit-filled children praying for other children new to the faith and new to Jesus, praying for them. And I see the baptism of the Holy Spirit speaking in other tongues coming upon these children and just radically impacting them and empowering them with the life and the power of the Holy Spirit. Come on. Do you have faith for that? Do you have faith for that? Do you have faith for that? I believe God has some anointing to come upon you. You guys have faith for that? Yeah, you do. Calling of God is on the two of you. Hallelujah. The Spirit of God is resting upon you. A mantle is coming upon the children that are in this house. Man of God, you may be a boy in the natural, but you're a man of God in the Spirit. And I could put my hand upon you, and I'm going to move by my Spirit, says the Lord, upon every child in this church. I'm going to cause them to be like firebrands in the hand of God. There's going to be a revival among the children and the young people and the youth of this community. I see God opening up young people and youth and teenagers and mighty, powerful move of the Holy Spirit. Your pastor has been a youth pastor before, and I've been a youth pastor before, and we never really stopped being a youth pastor. I don't want to be delivered. I was asked to be the lead pastor. I told him no 3 times. It was my own father. Son, I think you should be the senior pastor. No, I don't believe that's God. I like my job. I like young people. I don't want your problems. There's going to be a great move of the Holy Spirit in young people. God's going to crack some things open. I see a community college. I don't know if there's a community college nearby, but I just see a Spirit of God moving. I see some Bible clubs popping up. I see God moving in some supernatural ways to create us the momentum and a shift among young people in this region, in this community. And it's something that's not going to be obvious to the natural eye, but supernaturally, God's going to move by His Spirit and cause an awakening to come into this region. I believe not only this church, but other churches in this region are going to start to get swollen with the evangelistic move of God and the awakening of the Holy Spirit in this community as you begin to reach out and do what God's called you to do and be who God's called you to be.
Come on.
I believe that there's a great anointing and release in this house for financial provision. I really believe that God's doing something in the Spirit. I ministered to some leaders last night, but I really believe that the Lord spoke to me last night as I was speaking to them. I really believe that corporately upon this house, God is going to move by His Spirit in a supernatural way to just bring a blessing and a prosperity upon people in this house so that there can be a resource to do what God's called you to do. My dear friend Wendell Smith, who's gone home to be with the Lord, used to say, you spell vision, M-O-N-E-Y. You know what? He was right. He was right. You know? I mean, we need resources to do this. Why do you think the Lord made Abram a wealthy man? Because He needed to bless him so that he could be a blessing. And that's why He said, through you, I'm going to bless all the nations of the earth. And that's exactly what He did. But He needed to bless him first. And I believe that there is a work of God supernaturally that He's doing in this community and in this house, that God's going to move by His Spirit to bless and unlock some spiritual things and some financial things to enable you to go to another level. I appreciate the spirit of excellence in this house. And I walk around and I realize that some of the facilities are older and so forth, but you've done a wonderful job at making them look just so sharp and so nice and so relevant to your community. I commend you. The Lord has more things for you. I believe God's got some expansion. One of the scriptures the Lord gave me for you today was that you will spread out into the right and to the left, lengthen your cords and strengthen your stakes. For I'm getting ready to expand you, and I'm getting ready to move you into ways and in realms and vision expansion that you had not even thought about. You get ready to think outside the box. That means outside the tent. Get ready to think differently about how God's going to want you to do church and how it's going to be manifested and expressed in this region. Come on, if you will lift up your faith, God's going to cause you to move into a whole other realm, be able to see fruitfulness and harvest and blessing and momentum, and God's going to shift some things in your life. I believe a leadership strategy is going to come upon you, Justin, and upon the leaders of this house to be able to just build a leadership pipeline that is going to absolutely prepare this church for every level of growth and expansion that He is wanting to do. He's going to give you the strategy. He's going to give you the revelation. He's going to give you the understanding and the know-how to be able to do it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. How many in the room are just saying, man, I'm a candidate. I'm ready to get outside this tent. I'm ready to do what God wants me to do, go where God wants me to go, and be used how God wants to use me. How many are ready for that? Amen. You ready for that? Y'all ready for this? Let's all stand to our feet. Hallelujah. Can we just bow our head for a moment? I want to pray for two groups of people. First group of people is those that may be in this room this morning. And you realize and you know beyond a shadow of a doubt you're far from God. Your relationship with God is broken. And as you've heard me speak about purpose and destiny and life with God and being able to fulfill God's purpose for your life, something has just turned in your heart and you said, man, I want to have a life like that. But you know that sin and your own selfish way of living is keeping you back from doing that. But you're ready in this moment to say yes to Jesus. You're ready to say yes to God's purpose for your life. You're ready to just turn and embrace what God has for you. You're ready to do that. And if you're here this morning and you're saying, man, Mark, I want that life of purpose. I'm not living it now. I'm not walking with Christ, but I want to. In one moment of prayer and faith, your life can change. And you can go from being full of sin and selfishness to being forgiven and set on a life of purpose with Christ. In one moment, you can be following a path that leads to death and in one moment be changed and on the path that is full of life. I'm not promising that your life will be perfect, but I can make you this promise. Your life will be better. Your life will be better. You'll know the forgiveness, the love, the peace, the joy, the purpose, and the destiny of heaven for your life. That's what the Bible calls the good news. And so I'm here today to invite you to say yes to Jesus. Friend, if you're here and you know your relationship with God's broken, you're far from God, but you want to say yes to Jesus, on the count of three, I want you just to raise your hand. I'm going to lead you in a simple prayer of commitment to the Lord. But if you're here today and you just say, I'm done with wandering. I'm done with being locked into sin. I'm done with feeling bound. I'm done with just living life for myself. I want to live for something higher than me. And I want to step into God's purpose for my life. I want to say yes to this Jesus of purpose, this Jesus of destiny that you've been talking to me. I want to have hope in my life, Mark. Then I'm going to invite you to raise your hand. One, two, three. Just slip up your hand. If that's you, just raise your hand. Say, I'm saying yes to Jesus. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, ma'am. Thank you, sir. Anyone else? Just say, I'm saying yes right now. No more hopeless life. No more hopeless life. No more purposeless life. I'm saying yes to Jesus. Raise your hand right now. Amen. Everybody in the room, let's pray this prayer. Dear Jesus, thank you for loving me. Thank you for your purpose for my life. Right now, I say yes to you. Forgive me of my sins. Forgive me for living my own life in selfishness. I'm asking you to come into my life and be the leader of my life in Jesus' name. I commit myself to you. Now help me live for you in Jesus' name. Amen. Hey, church, let's congratulate these that said yes to Jesus. Awesome. Let me tell you, best decision you'll ever make. Best decision. Listen, if you want to know what's next, I encourage you to talk with some of the team that's here. They'll be by the doors and so forth. But I want to encourage you just to, if you don't have a Bible or whatever, I'm sure you got Bibles here. We'll give them to you. We'll just help you know what to do next. I'll tell you, let me give you a piece of advice. You want to know what to do next? Be here next weekend. Be here next weekend. That's a great next step for you. Be here next weekend and begin to just partner with this new family. All right, last group I want to pray for is everybody in the room who's wanting to say, yes, I'm ready to get outside the tent. I'm ready to lift up my eyes, and I'm ready to pursue what God has for generational hope and for my life personally. If that's you, raise your hand right now. Raise your hand all over the room. They're just saying yes. Pastor, I want you to just look around the room. Everybody is with you. Everybody's in this. We're going to do this. We're going to be a city set on a hill, and we're going to step into our future and our destiny in God. Amen? All right, put your hand down. Let's join hands with the person next to us, and let's just pray together in agreement for what God wants to do. All right, lift up. Let's just pray, and I'll lead out in prayer. Father, we thank you today that today is a divine appointment of destiny with this house. Today we're going to say, I'm going to lift up my eyes, and I'm going to come outside the tent of my experience. I'm going to leave yesterday, and I'm going to leave even the now. I'm going to leave what I can do, and I'm going to leave what I have done, and I'm going to come out, and I'm going to see all that you can do and all that you're going to do. And I thank you now that we are stepping by faith into the promise and the destiny and the purpose of God for generational hope and for my life. Lord, today we agree for blessing, and we agree for favor, and we agree for the hand of God to be upon us personally. I pray every marriage would be a marriage of vision. Every family would be a family of vision. Every business in this room would have a prophetic vision about who they can be and what they can do under the mighty hand of God. And I pray collectively today that we would stand together as a great church, and you would raise us up to be a city set on a hill that would be a light and a voice to this generation, and we would shine out a message of hope, and all God's people said, amen. God bless you. Love you.
Amen. 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 I tell you, that was the word of the Lord. Personally, corporately, if you said yes to the Lord this morning and salvation, that is awesome. Our connect table in the back corner, we've got some stuff. All those things he was talking about, you can go back there. My first thought, Pastor Mark, was, when can we do it again? Right? Come on, right, church? When can we do this again? But I thought, we can do it again. And I love where we're at. I love where we're at. I love where we're at, but I don't want to be where we're at when we do it again. Right? When he comes back, I don't want to be in the same place. I love where we're at. But I want to say yes to what God has for us. And I want to, next time Pastor Mark and Cheryl come, I want to say, hey, we saw outside of our tent. We saw outside of our tent. Amen? Amen. I could probably preach, but we'll do that next week. How's that? But Pastor Mark and Cheryl, thank you. Come on, we gave the Lord a hand, but can we tell them thank you?
Thank you.
Amen. Well, as we go this morning, come on, I hope you're full of faith. I'm full of faith. Let's go out of here seeing outside of what we see right now. Amen. Well, God bless you. We'll see you next time. You're released. Have a great rest of your weekend.